Okay, we're going to continue on with the book of Daniel this morning. And today we're going to cover chapter 6, which is a story that most of you know, as maybe you learned about it in Sunday school, about Daniel and the lion's den. And by this time in the story, Daniel is like in his mid-80s. Think about that. In his mid-80s, thrown into the lions. And if you remember, when we started talking about Daniel way back at the beginning, he was just a teenager. So he had been involved in these stories all of his life, from a teenager, from say he was mid-teens, all the way up to his mid-80s. You're talking about 70 years. 70 years is covered in just a few chapters in the book of Daniel. But there are some things that really stand out in his life, and that's what I want to share with you today. How do you maintain this life of faithfulness to Jesus over the long period? You know, you don't just become a flash in the pan where you start out with Jesus and then kind of give up along the way. But how do you go for your entire life, 70 years, and maintain a faithful walk with Jesus? How many of you desire that? Well, I do too. And here's something we're going to learn today from Daniel's life. A few principles, I think, that will help you if you can grasp a hold of them. So first of all, I want to just do a quick summary of the story. I'm not going to read everything in this chapter because I want to focus on these. There's four things I want to focus on that I think were key principles that helped him to maintain this walk with Jesus. So, first of all, Daniel was promoted to this place of prominence. And the Bible says it was because he had an excellent spirit. So he was lifted up, really, almost over the entire kingdom. And then some of the other leaders that were there became very jealous of him because he was given such a prominent role. And they desired to trap him. They wanted to do something against him. So they plotted together, but the bottom line was they couldn't find anything that he's ever done wrong where they could say, I gotcha. His life was so stellar, they couldn't find anything that would stick. And so they convinced the king to establish a new law. And the law was, you can't pray to anybody except the king during this certain period of time. They knew that if this became a law, that Daniel would break the law because they knew he was faithful to pray every day. So they convinced the king to create this law, no one is to pray to any other god except to you. And so, obviously, Daniel continued to pray as always. And the king, even though he was brokenhearted because he liked Daniel and didn't want to see him hurt, reluctantly threw him into the lion's den. The amazing thing is that night, God stopped the mouths of the lions. Even though they were hungry and ready to receive anybody thrown in there, somehow God miraculously stopped the mouths of these lions. And the next morning when the king ran over to the lion's den and he shouted down below there, he said, hey, Daniel, was your God able to preserve you? And he goes, yes, he was. I'm still alive, you know. And then the king took these people who conspired against Daniel and threw them in the lion's den along with their families. And it says they were torn apart by the lions even before they hit the ground. That's how hungry they were. And so that even magnifies the miraculous aspect of it. And then it says that the king, Darius at that point, made this public declaration about God, which I'll read to you later on in this message. And you can see that Daniel has such an impact in the lives of these people. You know, Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar and now Darius and even Cyrus later on. This man's life was such a testimony to God that he impacted this pagan nation, who didn't really have anything to do at all with God. And somehow through his testimony and how God was working in his life, these pagan kings began to recognize how glorious God really is. And this king actually makes some decrees along that line, which I'll share with you later. And then finally, it just says at the end of the chapter that Daniel was restored to peace and prosperity during the reign of this king. So that's the story in a nutshell. So what I want to do is look at what is it about Daniel that makes his life so amazing that he actually lived through seven different kings. There's only four mentioned in the book, but during Daniel's time there were four different kings that reigned. And yet each one, he seemed to always rise to the top. He was always a man of excellence, always being used by the Lord, always bringing glory to God, always bringing some positive effect into this nation. What is it about him? And how is it that this guy living, you know, as an exile in a foreign country was able to maintain such a relationship with God for 70 years? And those are the things I want to share with you. You know, when I read the Bible and I try to understand what is God trying to teach, I look for certain clues or keys in the chapter that might come along and help you to see it. And it happened in this chapter. And what it was is the word because. That's a neat word, isn't it? Because when you say because, it's sort of like a cause and effect, isn't it? This happened because. And you want to know what was that. And so four times in this chapter, it says something about Daniel, and then it says because. And so I'm thinking maybe that's part of the secret of this man's life, these becauses. What were the things that were spoken about him? So let's start and read one of them here. Daniel 6, verse 3. This Daniel became distinguished above all the other presidents and satraps because, here's one of them. Why was it? Why did Daniel get promoted above all the people there in the land? It's because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Man, that makes me want to have an excellent spirit. Not to be promoted, but to see the kind of the backside of that is that in his promotion, God was magnified. Daniel never sought to promote himself. He never looked for glory. It's just because he had this excellent spirit, God lifted him up. And in that place, God was magnified. An excellent spirit. What's it mean? Well, the word excellent means extraordinary. It means just above the rest. An excellent spirit means exceptional. And when it says spirit, it's talking about his inner being. He didn't say he was an excellent baseball player or an excellent hockey player, excellent football player, excellent mathematician. It says he had an excellent spirit. You know what? Every one of us has a spirit inside of us. And when you become a Christian, when you become saved, the Holy Spirit actually comes and lives inside of you. And you know what he's building inside of you? He's building an excellent spirit inside of you. Because what he's wanting to happen is to see more of Christ formed in us. Hopefully, when you become a Christian, if you used to be a hateful person, you're becoming a loving person. And what's happening is an excellent spirit is happening. Or maybe you're a person of worry, and now he's bringing peace into your life, and you're finding an excellent spirit is growing inside of you. Or you're a person who puts people down, but now you find yourself in a place of kindness. What's God doing is he's developing in us this excellent spirit. And this place of promotion for Daniel was because he had an excellent spirit. I want to say I guarantee you, but I'm not going to make any guarantees. I just want to say that if you grow in an excellent spirit, pathways will open up for you in this life. You know, if I was a boss of a company, I would love to promote people who have an excellent spirit. I'd rather promote a person with an excellent spirit than someone with an excellent skill, to be honest with you. And every one of us can pursue this. The Bible tells us in Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are called the fruit of the Spirit. What's that mean? It means when the Spirit lives inside of you, He produces something, and it's called fruit. And that's from the Holy Spirit. You know, I can't force these things to happen in my life, but because I'm drawing close to Jesus, these things are growing in me. So I'd like to encourage you to take a look today or sometime maybe this week at Galatians 5:22 and just kind of use it like a checklist and say, is love growing in me? Is joy? Is peace? Is patience? And if not, to say, Lord, you know what? I really desire to have this excellent spirit. I want to be inside the kind of person that brings glory to Jesus. That's one of the reasons why Daniel was promoted. It's because he had an excellent spirit. And it's something every one of us can pursue. Look next. The presidents and the satraps sought to find a ground for complaint against David. What's a satrap? That sounds like a weird name, doesn't it? That's just like, think of it like governors. So it was there was three presidents and many satraps, and Daniel was one of the presidents, and he was going to be placed over all the above. So once all this began to happen, the presidents and the satraps sought to find ground for complaint against Daniel. Now, here's something you need to know. Sometimes, because you have an excellent spirit, people will lift you up and reward you, like Darius did. He promoted Daniel. But guess what? Sometimes when you have an excellent spirit, the opposite happens, right? And here we find these satraps and the other presidents were against Daniel. They were jealous. They were against whatever God was doing in his life, so they came to try to bring it down. So these presidents and satraps sought to find a ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom, but they could find no ground for complaint. Wouldn't that be awesome? Someone's trying to find some reason to accuse you, and as far as they look, high and low, they can't find a stinking thing to pin on you. That was Daniel. They couldn't find a bad thing to say about him. They could find no ground for complaint or any fault because, there's that word again. Why is that? Because he was faithful. Guess what? We can all pursue faithfulness, can't we? That's not beyond the reach of us. It's because he was faithful and no error or fault was found in him. Let's talk about being faithful for a minute. What does that mean? It means to be reliable, to be trustworthy in responsibility. You can be depended on. Your word is your word. That's what faithful means. You know, if you're supposed to be at the job at 10 o'clock, you're there at 10, that kind of thing. You know, if you're supposed to do X, Y, Z, you do it. You're just faithful. There's a place in the book of Proverbs that says, confidence in an unfaithful person is like a broken tooth. Anybody ever had a broken tooth before? Or a foot out of joint? You ever had a foot out of joint? Well, you know, when you have a broken tooth or a foot out of joint, you just can't put any weight on it. You just like, ooh, ooh, or you chew on the other side. And that's what he says. If you're unfaithful, that's how you are. You're not trustworthy. They can't put weight on you. And so a faithful person is the opposite. You can trust them. You can put the weight on them. You know they're going to do what they say they're going to do. They're just faithful. And guess what? If you're a boss, you'd rather have what? A faithful person than an unfaithful one. And so you can find that Daniel finds this promotion in his life and God's blessing in his life because he was just faithful. There's a scripture in Luke chapter 10, Luke 16, verse 10, it says, "One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much." It's almost like a proving ground. God will give you something little. Be faithful with it. I remember one time my wife and I'm going to give her, I owe you $10. I'm going to use you as an example here. When we were married, younger, married, first married. We're still married, by the way. we were poor, and sometimes we shared living arrangements. We would share a place with somebody, like, hey, let's get together, live together. Guess what? There's a great blessing financially, but there's a lot of trials that come with that. But you know what we learned in that? Faithfulness. And one day, Ruth was telling me, and you have to correct me if I'm wrong, she was praying, she said, "Lord, I would like to get a place of my own." And what did Jesus say to you? What did he say? "Be faithful in what I've given you, and he'll take care of the rest." And so she was like, you know what? This is what I have. I'm going to sweep, do the whatever. You know, whatever it was she was doing over there. Yeah. Yeah, we were living in the basement, and hey, praise God. And you know what? She was faithful in that. She took care of it. She was a good mom, a good housekeeper in what we had. It was a little, but she was faithful in that, and God gave her much. And we finally found a place of our own. Huh? Soon, yeah. It was like, bada bing. But it's just a principle in the kingdom that if you're faithful in the little, God will give you more. So you don't have to be frustrated with it. Just start with where you are. Be faithful with where you are and what you have now. And God will teach you how to be faithful, and it becomes your lifestyle. You just become a faithful person. If he was faithful, and there was no error or fault. Let me talk about no error for a minute. The error has more to do with the outward carrying out of his responsibility. In other words, he just did a good job. You couldn't find fault with his work. He was a good steward. He didn't neglect things. He was not careless. He was not sloppy. Again, you can count on Daniel. You give him a job, he's going to do it. And so he was faithful, and there was no error that they could point to. And it says there was no fault. This has more to do with his inner being. There was no corruption, no moral decay, no lies. He had a pure inner life. It's really more about his character. So one was about his work, one was about his character. But at the end of the day, these guys could find no fault with this man because he was simply a faithful man of God. And I read the next few verses, and I find two areas where he was faithful. One is he was faithful in keeping the law. So verse 5, it says, "These men said, 'We shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God.'" You see, he was so faithful in keeping the word of God that they knew the only way we can find fault with this man is to create a law that says, don't be faithful in the law of God. So his faithfulness had to do with his approach of the word of God. He was faithful in connection to the law of God. And verse 10, he was faithful in spiritual habits. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, so what document? The document that says you can't pray to anybody else except the king. When Daniel knew this document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber opened toward Jerusalem. Why did he do that? Because the Bible told them way back, if you're ever carried away into exile, turn and pray toward Jerusalem. He was simply doing what the word of God told him. And he went to his upper chamber, he opened his windows toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. And what's it say next? As he had done previously. See, this was his practice. He wasn't doing something new. He wasn't rising up in rebellion against the law saying, I refuse to keep that law. He was just faithful. He prayed yesterday. He prayed last week. And I'm going to pray today. And I'm going to pray tomorrow. Yes, this law came, but I'm faithful to a higher law. It's my life. I'm a faithful man. I'm faithful in the scripture. I'm faithful in my daily habits concerning my relationship with the Lord. So here's a question. Isn't faithfulness something we can pursue? It's within reach of all of us. How about verse 22? My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth. That's what Daniel said when the king came to see if he was still alive the next morning. My God sent his angel, he shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me because, there's that word again, I was blameless. I was found blameless before him, and also before you, O king, I have done no harm. He was a guy who knew he was blameless, but he trusted God to vindicate him. He didn't look to vindicate himself. He didn't even speak up on his own behalf. He basically took his punishment, was thrown into the prison, and somehow he was trusting in God to deliver him. The reason why God shut the mouth of this lion is because I am blameless. And I want you to know, you can be blameless before the Lord too. And you can trust that he will vindicate you. He will uphold you. He will stand by you. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. We don't have to take matters into our hands. And that's what Daniel is saying here. God sent his angel. He shut the lion's mouth. They have not harmed me because I was found blameless before him. And I have done you no harm either. Blameless means clean or innocent. That's the part which basically says none of these charges would stick. There was just nothing to hang on him. He was innocent. And the Lord fought his battle. It says in Acts 24:16, the Apostle Paul says this, I always take pains to have a clear conscience toward God and man. Isn't that awesome? Why don't we do that? Why don't we just say, before God, I want to be blameless. I want to have a clear conscience before God. And let the chips fall where they will. Let the Lord fight our battles. He will. Verse 23, the king was exceedingly glad, and he commanded that Daniel be taken out of the den. And so Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him because, there's that word again, because he had trusted in his God. Can you trust God? See, all these things, all these becauses that were part of Daniel's life are within reach of all of us. You know, we look at him, we think, what an amazing man of God. But I can look out here and say, there's some amazing men and women of God here. And to become one isn't beyond any of us. To say, Lord, help me be faithful. Help me have an excellent spirit. Help me be blameless before you. Help me trust you. Proverbs 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. And so the king gets up and he makes this statement. King Darius wrote to all the people, nations and languages that dwell on the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree. And remember, this is a pagan king, had no heart necessarily for God. I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. See, it's not my God. It's his God, but I know he's got something going on over there. He says, he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed. See, the book of Daniel is about kingdoms that rise and fall, rise and fall, rise and fall. And underlying all this is we have a kingdom which will never end, a kingdom that's eternal, a kingdom where God is the king. He said, His kingdom will never be destroyed. His dominion shall be to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions. Isn't that awesome? Wouldn't it be awesome to see a king anywhere to stand up and make a declaration like this? How did it happen? It came because of Daniel, a simple man who was committed to the Lord all of his life. And he had these very simple qualities that any one of us can pursue. I'm going to have Randy come up, and we're going to close in prayer. And then while we're closing in prayer, the people that are going to do the baptism can get ready for that. We'll come back after the prayer to do that. But what are the four things? Because he had an excellent spirit. How did that come about? I don't know if you remember back when we first began the story. Daniel, as a teenager, it said he resolved in his heart not to eat the king's meat. Remember that? And it's just this idea that in this man's heart was this thing toward the Lord, resolving. As a young man, he made decisions that he carried with him through life. Now, you might say, well, yeah, but I'm an older person now. It's okay. Start today. Or if you're a younger person, start now. Don't say, well, one day I'll get serious for Jesus. No, start now. Daniel started when he was 15. Because he was faithful. And it just flows from ordinary habits. Every one of us can be faithful to the Lord, to his word, to spiritual habits, to our job, to our families. We can just be faithful. Be faithful in the least. Because he was blameless. That's the third area. He was blameless. You know, he was a person who lived in Babylon. He learned the language. He was an excellent administrator. He was respectful. But he never lost his identity with God. He didn't become a Babylonian. He lived in Babylon. He prospered in Babylon. But he was always a man of God. He was always God's man. He was blameless. And that enabled him to be respectful of all the people that were there. At the same time, have this foundational relationship with the Lord that would never change. And then lastly, because he trusted God, he believed in the absolute sovereignty of God, that God is the one who raises up and brings down. He's the one who establishes kingdoms. He's the one who brings down kingdoms. Here I am in the midst of Babylon, and I've seen Babylon fall to the Medes and Persians, and I've seen visions that the Greeks are going to come and take them over, and others will come later. The Romans will come and take them over. I know the kingdoms of this world will rise and fall, but I serve a God whose kingdom will never end, and he's the one who establishes and raises up and brings down. I'm standing on good ground here, and he trusted God. So, my brother.